Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. All right, so I've got some prayer requests here, guys. So I'd love to pray with you on these. I also wanted to read email from Daniel, Daniel Ruvoletto. Do you remember, Daniel, when you were last here, like last year, you may, but anyway, Daniel diagnosed with cancer. Just the way he's walking through it is amazing, although he's in a lot of pain. Had PET scan and CT scan today so they could plan out the attack on the cancer. He wanted me to pass this on to you, to the bros. And Thursday night, I'm grateful and humbled by all the love and prayers of my brothers and sisters. He included that too, because he knows that a lot of our friends and families and wives and such praying. Overwhelming. And just a demonstration of the power of God over our lives. Pray for my wife, Joni. It's been tough for her. And I'm sure, you know, when he's in the hospital, she can't be with him. And plus, you know, she looks at her hubby, and I think I mentioned this to you last week, and Daniel was a pretty strong, about 220, 225, and down, I think, 50, 60 pounds and he's lost. So thank you, brothers. Next week, I'll know the results of today's exams. God bless you. It's just caring about us. So that's so cool. That's just so Daniel, right? Who else? I'm not going to intro every prayer request here, but Sam. Some of you know Sam, Bob, that joins us sometimes, fireman. He had some issues at his last station and had to change stations, and so we're going to lift him up as well tonight. And also, just got this text from Jonathan Ferguson, who's one of our pastors. He's out running the fireworks stand and said that love for somebody to accompany you. Yeah, so Dave's doing an all-night security. You got to have all night, 24/7 out there with the fireworks stands. So he needs a co-laborer. For this will be tomorrow night and Saturday night. So maybe online somebody is hearing that and could help Dave out too. So, matter of fact, probably email me if you want to help out with that. If you're online here tonight, you can just tell me afterwards. But the email is Alan, A-L-Y-N, at refugefamily.com. And then I'll get word to Dave and connect you on that. Brene just sent me a text. Pray for my my brother's the coronavirus. So I think he's just talking about in general. So does anybody have any immediate family members dealing with it? That no, my daughter, who's she's in retail management at South Coast Plaza, and it's, you know, just now getting back to work because that place has been shut down. And so they're doing her store that she co-manages. They're doing all kinds of stuff. You know, they got thermometers. They've got these, what's the word I'm looking for? Like ultraviolet devices to disinfect. I mean, they're doing everything. Co-worker of hers got the virus. Today she was thinking, man, I need to get back to work and get some hours in because it's been shut down. And then she woke up with all the classic symptoms, talked to her doctor and said, yeah, you've probably got it, because he just went through the list. Yeah, got that. So she has to still take her test, but she can't go back to work. So I now have officially an immediate family member. So I'm gonna lift her up. Yeah, whatever else I got in this list. So let's do it. Let's pray, and then we'll sing to our Lord, all right? Well, Father, it's always good to be with the brothers, Lord, even in a small group of us here tonight, and with the brothers online too. Fellowship, Lord, just guys being in the presence of God, the God who saves, the God who loves us as we are, the God who loves us too much to leave us as we are. Lord, it's good to be with you. It's good to just to bring these matters before you, and all that we do tonight. Lord, it's good to sing praises to you. It's good to study your word, Lord, and to grow and to feed on it. And so thanks for letting us do all that tonight. But Father, just want to bring these matters before you. And as Renee said, lifting up any in amongst us, directly, indirectly, that we know, names that come to mind, dealing with this this virus. My daughter, likely her youngest son, and her coworker, her employee, and so many others, Lord. They just kind of represent the many, Lord. But we have a heart always for those closest to us, and that's okay, Lord. That's why you put us in families and places and spheres of influence. And so I'm just praying for them, Lord, for your merciful touch on them. And also on Gid, a co-worker of Mike's that we've prayed for previously, Father. We've brought him before you and having issues after the kidney transplant and just the weight of this on his wife, Kim. And that's a hard thing. And it just... It's so far removed from us because it's just a prayer request. But for those people, it's their life. It's what's going on. And it's heavy stuff. And Lord, we pray that they would find refuge and hope and comfort and peace in you and just your merciful touch as well. Same for Brother Daniel, Lord, in a lot of pain. Our brother's hurting. And Father, we ask you to just please show mercy on that body of his that's just racked with pain and cancer and heal up our brother, Lord. However you would do that, Lord, we just bring him before you and entrust him to you and his wife. Lord, help her through this time. She just wants to love and provide and bless her husband and yet feels helpless at times, Lord. So please do that and please provide for them. And it's a big hit financially for those guys with Daniel not being able to work. Also, Lord, lifting up our brother Sam, Lord, he individually, because we know him as our brother from Thursday nights, but also representing first responders as a fireman out there doing what he does to protect the city. And so, Lord, strengthen him, bless him, keep him safe. Lord, use him, shine through him, Lord, that he might truly just be a light and draw people to you, Father. Lord, also, my brother Brett, thank you, Lord, that you're just working in little ways to just to remind him that you've got him. And Lord, as he desires to work, as he desires to build his business, Lord, we pray that you'd bless that. Lord, that vision that you gave him and just the foundation of that, Lord, and also the side work that he does as well, Lord, that you'd bless that and provide through that for him. And finally, Father, for us as a country, we're just a day and a half away from celebrating the birth of an amazing place, Lord. It's a place that we all have chosen to live at. We could leave, Lord, and not everybody could say that about their country. Not everybody can just leave if they want to leave. We can. And a lot of other places, a lot cheaper, but Lord, we see your hand upon it, upon our imperfection and just your grace that you've poured out and just, an amazing place, Lord, that we are able to affect change, just because of the process that you've blessed us with. So thank you, Lord. And I pray that as a nation, we would give thanks to you, come this Saturday and really celebrate the gift from you, Father. So help us as a nation to do that, us individually as brothers to do that. And Lord, tonight we celebrate all that you do, because everything that's good in our life is from you. So we thank you, bless you, and want to praise you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, our brother, Coach Paul, taking us through the first 10 verses of chapter 6. Yeah, I love this. You got a good chunk there, buddy. You got the a good lottery pick on those 10 verses. So it's good. Yeah, it's good. All right. So Lord bless you. I'm ready, man. Let's do it.
All right.
What's that? Yeah, do you need more coffee?
No, I'm good, Ed. I'm just waiting for that yeehaw. I know I'm doing well if I hear yeehaw. We've been going through Galatians and the first five chapters. We come to chapter 6, and it's kind of a practical point in Paul. But this is an unusual book, as we've already found out. It's unusual in the sense that Paul doesn't normally attack it this way. But there's a serious situation going on, and those are the things we've covered over the last several weeks. But I would say the thing that I've gotten from Galatians, the first five chapters, is basically this. Don't go back. Don't go back. You know the truth. Don't go back. Don't start wandering off to other places. So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about some how practically Paul is sharing with the Galatian community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, this time, that, Lord, we're free to read your word, to, Lord, be instructed by your word, to know your heart, because, Lord, without your word, we wouldn't know your heart. And so, Lord, speak to us as Paul spoke to those Galatian churches. And, Lord, instruct our hearts that we might follow you. And, Lord, we know your voice, and we follow it. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Don't go back. That's what I got out of it, listening to Alan, Marty, Mike, Todd, was don't go back. And over 40 years, I've probably read this a multitude of times. I know because my Bible is so marked up from things that I've done over the years in different colors and pens and pencils and stuff. I really realize that this is a heartfelt epistle. Paul was responding to things that were going on in the area of Galatia, not just a church in Galatia. But this is typical of what goes on all the time. Something starts well, and then there's always those people that come in to set a different agenda. The real question, I think, when we read Galatians and we go through it, it says, how can man who is sinful win the favor of a God that is holy? How do we do that? And that's what Galatians is really going back to. You should read all six chapters. One of the greatest things about, you know, some of the translations we have, like the NIV and some others, they're written a little bit more fluidly than the original King James. That's the official version, the King James. Just kidding, everybody. But anyway, this... reading it from the first chapter to the sixth chapter, it reads like a letter that is written by a friend. There's doctrine there, but the thing is, it's written as a concern, love and concern to get them back on the right track. It's personal, it's encouragement. It's a warning about the Judaizers that have come in that want to take them back to the law. And you begin to hear the hiss of the snake again, just like we did in the garden. We heard the hiss of the snake. Surely, God didn't say that. Surely, this is not enough. Let's try this. You need to come back this. You Gentiles, you need to come back and be a Jew before you can actually receive the good news about Jesus to complete you. And we're warned here to watch out for those among you. And they were preaching something like Jesus plus. It was always something else. It wasn't sufficient that Jesus died for us. Remember that it is God Himself is the one that makes us righteous. We don't make ourselves righteous. God makes us righteous. In John 17:3. That's about eternal life. This is eternal life. Just believe in me, or just believe in God and the one that sent me. Our faith is the catalyst that activates the power of God in us. Our faith activates God's power. God is the only one that can change us. We can't change ourselves. If we could change ourselves, we would have. We can't change ourselves. We depend upon the Spirit of God to reveal Himself in us. And Paul talks about this great mystery, the fact that the Gentiles are brought in. And he's talking to these Gentile believers because the Judaizers are trying to come in and get them to change and start accepting the law again. Paul starts out in chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, he says, "The grace of God, Jesus Christ, the cross, our sins, rescue us from this present evil age, God's will and purpose." In those three verses, 3 to 5, he lays down the gospel to them. God is the one that will rescue us. Paul's tone is concern. It's personal. It's practical. He's saying, don't go back. Don't go back. You're here. Don't go back. In chapter 3, verse 1, he said, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." You foolish Galatians. How many times that I've been that fool? How did I go off track? Why did I go here? Why did I begin to listen to these things? All I had to do is stay in the Word of God and let the Word of God teach me and direct me. Let the Spirit of God in me direct me in God's Word. When I hear Paul speaking here, this voice of concern is like when Jesus came into the garden. He says, "Adam, where are you?" It wasn't anger. It's not anger that Paul has here. It's love and concern. Luke chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus speaking to all the Pharisees, the scribes, the leaders, the religious leaders. In verse 34, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you're not willing." That's concern. That's the concern of our Lord Jesus Christ. Concern for everybody. His concern is for all of us. It says, For God so loved the world, He didn't love a certain group of people. He loved all of us. And He calls to us with concern. When Jesus confronted Paul, He says, "Paul, why do you persecute me?" It wasn't anger. Paul had been murdering Christians. He had set out to destroy him when Christ intercepted him and told him. He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Our soul is the most important thing. God has come to redeem our souls. He wants us to be in eternity with Him. And so we move on to chapter 4 in Galatians. Chapter 4, verse 19. "My dear children, for whom I am again the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says?" This is concern. In chapter 4, verse 19, the one thing we've got to understand, we never stand still. We grow as a Christian, or we become less. We don't get to a plateau, a happy plateau, stand there, and we've got enough now. I'm good to go. I'm ready to go to heaven. No, we've got to keep moving forward. You cannot ever stand still. There is no point you can ever stand still. In anything you do, you're either moving forward or you're moving backward. Another thing is, we don't get rid of habits. We replace them. Whatever you were doing before you became a believer, you accepted Jesus and you started really following Him. You're replacing those old habits with new habits. You were listening to the world and the wisdom of the world, and now you're listening to God's wisdom. We must replace those habits. That's our job. We're to read God's word. He'll take care of the rest. He'll minister to us. He will strengthen the message. He will reduce it down for wherever we are as a believer. I read verses when I was a newborn Christian, and I see them completely different now. Because God has brought me to a level I can understand it. He has strengthened his message in me because he's taught me things along the way. And now he goes, remember back then? Now take a look at this. In Galatians 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Burdened by the yoke of slavery, we have been set free. It's for freedom we have been set free. We are truly free in Christ. We were slaves to our flesh and our bodies before he freed us. Chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another, humble in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. He's talking to the church. He's not talking just to the world. He's talking to the church. Be careful, church. And don't start devouring one another. Don't start talking about each other. Make sure you keep your brother in the right way in your heart. Don't allow yourself to go down that road of criticism, of destructiveness. If you are saying something and you're confronting a brother about something, make sure it's in love. And you've got to have a right motivation for doing it. Verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Notice, and Alan made this point, if we want to avoid the flesh, then walk by the Spirit. You can't just avoid the flesh. The flesh will not let you do that. Works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. Important distinction when he gives those descriptions of works of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. Alan made a point of talking about the works. Notice there's a relationship between works in the flesh and fruit. We have nothing to do with the fruit other than God reveals it in us. He brings those fruits out. In verse 24, the last part of 23, against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Those are important points, and those are the things that grabbed me as we were going through the earlier parts of Galatians. Those phrases are important, knowing how to walk in the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit. And the thing is, once we realize who's doing it, there's no room for conceit. I take no pride in what I am. I am proud of what God has done for me. If I'm anything, it's because of Him. I'm telling you, I would have wrecked this ship a long time ago if I was running it. And there's a lot of people, a lot of my friends that I know that wrecked that ship of theirs, that destroyed it because they followed their flesh. If there's two dogs in a fight, the one you feed is the one that's going to win. You feed the flesh, you feed that dog, it's going to win. You feed the Spirit's going to win. The flesh is a hungry dog that's indulged passively. It's going to get its flesh. Just a little joke there. It's the default position of mankind. The flesh will get what it wants. Its demands will be met. You must check it. You must actively feed the spirit to defeat the flesh. You cannot defeat the flesh without the spirit. God's spirit in us is the only way to subdue the flesh. This is what Paul is reminding the Galatians. Don't go back to that law. Don't go back. Because if you go back, you're going to lose. All that you've gained, you're going to lose. Christ is all you need. He has done everything. You can't add to it. I can't add to that. Right now in this season, COVID-19 has exposed our culture. This virus has exposed our culture. It has exposed the rampant fear within our culture. Some people, it's a good fear. It's just being wise. Some other people are being absolutely just scared to death over this. It shows you that the foundation that they live by, they're so frightened they don't know which way to turn. That virus will kill our bodies. It has the capacity to kill our bodies. But there's a more deadly virus out there, and it will get you. That virus is called sin, and it kills the soul. We will die. There's no doubt about that. We will die someday. But our souls will live forever. God has given us a way out. We do not have to stand in judgment on our own. He stands at our right. He stands before us, and He confesses us before the Father. Don't go back. Don't go back to the flesh. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to it. And the moment you've been waiting for, chapter 6. I'm just getting started. This is the practical advice, chapter 6. I'm going to read through these 10 verses. This is practical. Paul is giving practical. After he's reminded them of all these things, he's telling them, hey, now listen to me. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Be generous and good. Verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Verse 1, in one of my Bibles, this is bear and share burdens. And Paul does a good job here of pointing out that relationship between burdens and also our load in life. Now, sometimes you can use the word burdens as exchange it for load. But it says, verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. that overtaken in any trespass is something that comes on quickly. It's unintentional. And there's things that we do sometimes. We go, why in the world did I do that? But we got caught up in the moment. Something happened. And it's caused usually by things like overconfidence. We think we can handle this. We think we can handle this situation. It's no big deal. Or we're walking. We're not walking with the Spirit like we should. We're not walking in step with the Spirit. We want to restore that brother. We want to restore someone that's overtaken with a trespass. We want to have empathy and we want to have sympathy for the person. Maybe we haven't experienced the same thing. Maybe our trials, our difficulties are different than somebody else. But we all have those trials. And we need to have a compassionate heart when we share with another brother. Use the fruits that Paul talked about of the Spirit. Use meekness and kindness and patience with someone. One of the worst things to do, and I was really bad. Guys, my wife had to teach me these lessons. I learned that there was times when I listened to her, and there were times when she wanted a solution. I learned the difference between those two, and it was a happier marriage. Because if she just wanted to share with me, I needed to sit there and listen, because the first thing I want to do is offer a solution. And how many times do we do that with other brothers, friends of ours, that are struggling? We jump out the gate and we want to start telling them how to take care of it. They haven't even finished telling us what the problem is, but we got the solution. Sit and listen. Grieve with them if it's something that is painful in their lives. Grieve with them. Sit there. We don't need to say something. We don't always need to have the solution. Be patient. Be kind. Be meek. When someone falls down into a hole, man falls into a hole, the worst thing in the world we can do is jump in after them. We never jump down in the hole to help them. We reach down and we pull them out. We don't jump in with them. And that's the idea of this last part. Lest you also be tempted. Be careful how far you get engaged with someone. Don't, if you see them doing something, be careful. Put a hand out. Ask to help them. But don't jump in the hole. It's not a good place to be overconfident as a believer. My confidence is in Christ. My confidence is not in myself. My confidence is in my Lord and Savior, not in me. I fail myself too many times. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Another way of saying the law of Christ could be the way of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the way of Christ. Burdens can be called a load. They can be emotional. And the truth is, and I know we kind of see maybe a kind of a conflict here, because in verse 5 it's going to say every man carry his own load. Understand this. Burdens are a load. And one man can carry another man's burdens. But he can never carry another man's responsibility. That's the difference between those two verses. We want to come alongside of our brothers and help them carry their burdens. And we may not be able to do anything other than listen to them, but we're helping them in carrying their burdens. Different types of burdens. Some that are unnecessary. I experienced some of these. Poor management, judgment, risk, moral insight. That can cause us to have burdens. There's the inevitable burdens in life. Uncontrolled situations, natural issues, job loss. Involved in some kind of cataclysmic event. This virus is an example of that. It's a burden. It's inevitable. Really, the good burden is the next one. It's voluntary. A desire to help others. We're taking on somebody else's burden. We're willfully accepting that burden to go alongside them and keep the attitude, I exist for your sake. Don't think you exist for my sake. I exist for your sake. It's important that we keep that in mind. Paul taught the power to establish the kingdom of God was God's job. But God works through us to establish his kingdom. He works through us. All of this we're able to handle and deal with if we allow the Spirit of God to dwell in us and help us. Another thing about burdens, burdens are how God knits us together for reconciliation to him and to one another. God uses burdens to reconcile us to him and reconcile us to others. These things, it's the same thing as why do trials come in my life? Because it causes intimacy with God when we have trials. If everything's humming along great, we have no problem. Anybody can live 10 feet off the ground, no problems. But when the trials come, we have a place to go. We go to our Father. He puts his arms around us and he loves us. But he uses these burdens to reconcile us to himself and to one another. To give and to receive sharing. Love your neighbor. A new way to view the law. Verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. This is one of the truest things that I found out about myself. I deceive myself more than any other man that has ever been has deceived me. I deceive myself more often than anybody else deceives me. My heart is deceitfully wicked. This himself to think you think you're something when you're nothing. Becoming puffed up, harsh, unforgiving, not sad, but glad about other people's problems. You add to their burdens. You don't eliminate their burdens or help them with their burdens. You add to it. We're always very lenient on ourselves and severe on others. It's a wonder how bad my sins look on you. My sins on you, I can see it clearly. And I can point it out to you. But deceiving myself, one of the greatest verses I ever read, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When I learned to pray those verses, I did not have as many problems with my brothers and sisters. Because I quit looking for the blemishes on somebody else and I started looking for the blemishes on myself. God, search me and know me. Verse 4, but let each one examine his own work and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. That's kind of it doesn't seem to come across the best way. It's the joy, having joy in yourself, that last part there, having rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. It's not looking at other people to find confirmation. It's letting the master say, good job. When God says you did a good job, you don't need to hear from anybody else. When God has laid on your heart what you've done is good and righteous before him, then you get to enjoy it. And I learned what it meant to not steal my crown. Because, man, if I did something good, I wanted everybody to know how good I was. And then I realized the joy went away quickly. But when I just let it soak in and let God speak to me. And I realized God was happy with me. God was proud of me. The feeling that He gave me, the joy He gave me, was powerful. Examine your own work, and the rejoicing will be yours. God will see it, and He will bless you. Don't worry about if anybody else saw it. Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. The load is a task of self-examination and self-correction. Self-examination and self-correction. No one else can carry it. And this load in you is the workshop of the Spirit. That load in you, that thing you're dealing with, that is where the Spirit goes to do the work. Those things that we need to have worked out, taken out of us, to be taken out of our lives, that's where the Spirit actually does the work. It's removing those things that are hindering our relationship with our Lord and also with others. One of the things to realize when it comes to burdens and loads is life exists in two ways. Life is solo, and life is a chorus. Life is solo, and it's also a chorus. The solo is God is judging me individually. The chorus is us together as we come before the Lord together as believers. And that is a strength there. We live our life in those two ways, solo and at the same time as a chorus. God sees us as individuals, but He has created us for relationships. That's the chorus. The chorus is the relationships. Relationships are so important. God created us that way. Relationship, first of all, with Him and then with our fellow man. Verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. It's not talking about pastors. It's not talking about teachers. It's talking about you and your friends and the relationship that you have. When a brother speaks something really good to you, respond to that. Tell him that. Say, you know, wow, that was good. I needed that. I needed that. That fellowship is a binding force that holds the church together. That fellowship is important. We share one another's burdens. We share the good words that come to us from the Word of God. Christian life is a cooperative experience. Sharing is mutual. Prayers, ideals, achievement, ourselves, all of the gospel, all of this is mutual. We need it. Receiving and giving. In a healthy church, people are receiving and giving blessings to one another by their company, by the relationships, by giving a kind word, spending some time grieving with someone or laughing with someone. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that will he also reap. Verse 8, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Do not be deceived. Paul was dealing with deception all the way through Galatians. That is what he was talking about. He was talking about corporately, individually, being deceived by people who would come and say, over here, there's a new gospel over here. You need to add this to what you're doing. The deception was real. That's why Paul is talking about it. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. He's told us twice here. God is not mocked. I'm going to tell you what. If anybody that would be foolish enough to mock God, they couldn't possibly be thinking right. But this also means God will not be outwitted. You are not clever enough. You cannot skirt this. You have a destiny. We all have a destiny. We were appointed to birth and we're appointed to death. We were born and we will die. You will not get around it. Don't deceive yourself. The only way we're getting out of this world alive, truly alive, is to recognize the Creator of all life. To realize the one that holds everything is the one that will sustain us. You will not outwit God. In this is the law of identical harvest. Most everybody knows, you know, if you took any biology in high school, kind produces kind. Everything reproduces after its own kind. God said it in Genesis. Everything reproduces itself like kind. Certain flowers reproduce the same flowers. You know, imagine planting a watermelon and a turnip grows. You know when you put those seeds in the ground, it's a like harvest. You planted that and it was a certain seed and it will produce exactly that same thing. Why do we, in the law of identical harvest, why do we ignore that in our spiritual lives? We understand it biologically, but we don't get it when it comes to the nature of man. You're not a stingy person. You can't be stingy and then expect generosity from people. Now, you can be a generous person and you can get stinginess from somebody else. But as far as you're concerned, that generosity that you give is what God requires us to do, because it goes back to treating every man the way Christ would treat them. And so when we get into this situation where we understand that there's certain things that if we do, we're going to get a certain result. You sow to the physical, you'll reap decay. You sow to the spirit, you'll reap life. Sowing faith, hope, and love is for now and eternity. When we sow faith, hope, and love. Verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are on the household, or of the household of faith. Doing good. Doing good. Paul tells us to always live in peace as far as it's possible for you. We're always trying to live in peace. We're always trying to do good. But the thing is, don't become weary. Don't become weary, because you're not getting good back. What I just said a minute ago, you say, you give generosity to somebody and they turn and they stiff arm you. They're stingy. They don't return the compliment. Let it go. Let it go. Don't return hate for hate. Everything you do, do good. And don't grow weary of it. Because the one that counts is watching us. God is watching us. And yeah, I might extract my ounce of flesh. I do have a mouth at times. I didn't. I don't anymore. Not as bad anymore. But I'm not a person that's going to stand there and take it for very long. But I've learned, rather than to respond in like kind, I've learned to turn and walk away. Because I'm not going to win a convert that way. I'm not going to lead somebody to Christ by airing them out. We need to understand that we should never grow weary of doing good. And let us do good to all. All, everybody. All is not just the church. All is not just our brothers. All is all. For God so loved the world. He didn't just love the believers. He loved the world. And thank God he doesn't just love the believers, because I once wasn't a believer. And because he loved me, he brought me to him. It's through his love and him not growing weary of trying to draw me to him. I'm thankful that our Lord doesn't grow weary of doing good. And I'm glad that he does good to all. God sees, and in due time, he will act. You're probably happy to hear this. My final thoughts. The Bible is not a self-help book. You don't look for the Bible under self-help aids. It's God's help book. God is the one that's going to do it. All we must do is yield to him. Just read the Bible and let God speak to you. Whenever someone wants to lead you away from the gospel, they're always handing you something to read. They want to, people that you run into, different faiths, they're always handing you publications to explain Scripture. A wise man, some of you may know, Chuck Smith, a godly man, what a blessing it was to be in his church. Chuck would always say, after he spoke, he would say, "Don't believe me, read it yourself. Don't believe me, read it yourself." He wanted you to go and read what he just shared for a couple reasons. First of all, he's sending you right to the source, and you're going to remember it. But after he would give, I mean, really, Chuck was a great teacher. But he would always say, "Don't just believe me. Read it yourself." Only grace can make a person righteous when the Spirit enters in. The grace of God, the Spirit of God in us makes a righteous person. I'll never make myself righteous. As Christ is formed in us, and that was Galatians 4:19. Alan, that impacted me the night you spoke about it. I had missed it before. Galatians 4:19. As Christ is formed in us. As Christ is formed in us. That's what we live for. That's what we're believers for. We're not part of a committee or a group, or, you know, we don't have patches running around all the place and we all got our own thing going. No, we're all drawn together because of one thing, because of Jesus. All the defenses come down, all the pretenses come down when two brothers that have never seen each other before, they both confess Christ. You look at the growth and the relationship, how it develops when they both know the same Lord and Savior. It changes our perspective of other people when we know that they love Jesus. The Spirit will change our minds, and then our hearts will change. The Spirit will change our minds, and then our hearts will change. Let's quit trying to change ourselves. Let's quit trying to change ourselves. Let God do it. Let God change us. By the way, the solo is what I just got through talking about. That's God working in us, and that's the solo part. And now this is the chorus part. Now let us share one another's burdens. Now, because he's living in us, we're qualified to share somebody else's burdens. I'm not qualified by myself to share your burdens. I can only share your burdens because I have an unlimited resource of what I can do for you. My resources are limited. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about my intellectual resources are limited. I find that I always appear more intelligent when I'm speaking the Word of God. Because if I'm not, you would not consider me very intelligent. Let us share one another's burdens. And my theme for Galatians is, don't go back. Christ only. It is Jesus only. It is Jesus only. Don't go back. Don't try to add things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, just to soak up your word, to hear what you have to say to us. That through your word, you show us you. You show us your nature. You share your love for us through your word and your willingness to love us and to come in, to embrace us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, lift us up. Lord, carry us to that place that you prepared for us. You said you've gone to prepare a place for us. Lord, let us labor here on this earth for you that we might be in that place with you. Amen.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.